the word that sometimes we find it translated iniquity, but it's actually has the idea of perversity. We translate this word perversity. And so Cain says, my perversity is too great to bear. And the next verse kind of leads us to realize he's talking about the consequences of his perversity. It's too great for him to bear. Now, it's interesting as we go into verse 14, you're going to see here that Cain completely understood his sentence. And so I just wanted to bring that out. It is interesting to me when he gives these things that that are his consequences, if you will, is the first thing in his list focuses on the physical. It's the second thing on his list is his relationship to God. And that just strikes me as interesting. And so in Genesis 4:14, we see Cain here and he says, behold, you have driven me this day from the face of the ground. And so he's focusing on the physical, something that he loved to do. And I mentioned last week, especially for Don, that this is a PL perfect here. Intensive action. There's an emotion involved here. This is the thing that really struck him. And he says, and from thy faith shall I be hid. And then he says, and I shall be a wanderer and a fugitive on the earth. And he says it with a perfect. I shall be a roaming one and a wandering one in the earth. And so he completely understood God's sentence and what God intended for him as a result. And then he says, and it will come. Now he expresses a fear. He says, and it will come about that whoever finds me will kill me. And so here we see he has fear that there's going to be revenge. Revenge on him for taking the life of his brother. And so in Genesis 4:15, Jehovah, the Lord, is going to give Cain some assurance in response to his fear. And so he says here, and the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth, or just, it's our word for kill, kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And so here the Lord gives a guarantee. It's, you know, to be a guarantee to Cain and a deterrence to others. And then, as we mentioned last week, and the Lord set a mark upon Cain, and lest any finding him should strike him down, just smite him. And we could also understand this, and I mentioned this last week, as the New American Standard translate this, and the Lord appointed a sign for Cain. That's probably the more natural way to translate the Hebrew. I think it's possible to understand that. Now, it is interesting if you understand it that way, and the Lord appointed a sign for Cain. He basically gave Cain a promise. And then as appointing a sign to Cain, that would have been a sign of guaranteeing the assertion, basically. And so if this is what Jehovah did, I believe it would have been a sign of his omnipotence. Something that Cain would have witnessed that showed God's manifest power. Now, if this were the case, Cain would have had another opportunity to show if there was faith, get an opportunity to take God at his word and believe him. Now, we're going to see in verse 16 that Cain did not have faith. He didn't take God at his word. And this is where we'll see in verse 16. And Cain went out from the presence of Jehovah. And it says, and he dwelt. And we mentioned this word has the idea he proceeded to. It's an imperfect. He proceeded to settle, to sit down, to inhabit, to remain sitting is kind of the idea. And so Cain went out after he had been sentenced to be continuously a roaming one and a restless wandering one. He went out from the presence of the Lord and he proceeded just literally to settle down and to sit down in the land of Nod. And the word Nod is from the root wandering. And so here you have defiance. You have subtle defiance from Cain, not taking God as at his word, and not remaining continuously as a roaming one, as a wandering one, but he proceeded to sit down and settle in the land of wandering. And so here you see the irony of this and really the defiance. Now, when we relate this to the world system, remember the world system, it comes from the Greek word cosmos. And that word has the idea of something that's well arranged, adornment. We get our English word cosmetic. Comes from that root, which means to be well adorned or well arranged. Let me illustrate this from scripture. If you turn with me to 1 Peter 3:3, we can see this word used in this way, cosmos. And so here we see it used of in regards to wives. And so in 1 Peter 3:3 says, likewise, you wives be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the manner of life of the wives. While they behold your chaste or just your pure manner of life coupled with fear. And here we see it translated as adorning. Who's adorning this orderly arrangement? Let it not be that outward adorning of the braiding of the hair and the wearing of gold or the putting on of apparel, but it let it be the hidden man of the heart. And so we'll just stop there. But here we see the word just translated adorning. It has the idea of well arranged, well organized. And so the cosmos system, when we're talking about the world system, it's Satan's organized structure, but it is it's his arranging of the things that make up civilization. And so it's his diabolic system. And as we said earlier, it's being used of his arrangement of unsaved man within civilization. But it's an organized structure, if you will. And so we're going to go back today into Genesis 4. And we're just going to finish up this part of Genesis 4, and you're going to see the beginning building blocks of a well-arranged system. And so it's the New Testament that connects us back into Genesis 4. And so we go back from Luke chapter 11, and we can see from the foundation of the world connected to the blood of Abel, and now we're going to see how this fits together with the the foundation of the world system. So let us pray, and we'll come back into Genesis chapter 4. Father, we do thank you for the day. We're thankful for your word. We're thankful for the opportunities that we have to be in your word and to be together. We pray your spirit would continue to guide and direct, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so let's go back into Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to see here that Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch. Now, this is a different Enoch that's from the line of Seth that I believe Dave is going to be moving into next week. But we see Enoch, he continuously roamed and wandered, right? No, he proceeded to be building. And so you have a cal imperfect of the to be verb with a cal participle for building. And so he proceeded to be building a city. And so here you can see that Cain did not have faith. He demonstrated that, right? He demonstrated that he didn't have faith, that he was just going to be able to be a continuously roaming one and a wandering one, really relying on God, and that he could trust that God and God's ability, that revenge wouldn't be sought. And so he's going to take things into his own hand. And he proceeds to be building a city. And so this word for city, this is the first occurrence in scripture for a city. And it refers to a permanent settlement, a place of refuge, usually with some fortifications. And so where you have permanent settlements with fortifications for refuge and protection, you have governmental functions. And so here you see with the building of a city, you have the beginnings of human government then. And I'm not going to chase this down in the Old Testament, but you can see a number of times you have reference in the Old Testament, the elders of the city. The elders of the cities were those that were engaged in the governmental functions revolved around the city. We also see examples in the Old Testament of the gate of the city, which indicates that the cities generally were walled, and the gate of the city is where these governmental functions would occur, be at the gates of the city. And so there's a different word in the Hebrew of a permanent settlement without a wall. And we find that in the book of Joshua. Let me just, and so we translate this word villages. And so let me just illustrate that. Let's go to Joshua 13:23. And I'm not going to develop the context. I just want you to see an illustration of the word here, because you have cities and villages as translated. And it says, and the border of the children of Reuben was Jordan, and the border thereof, this was the inheritance of the children of Reuben after their families, the cities and the villages thereof. And so the cities and the villages that belong to those cities. And so the city kind of has the idea of a permanent settlement with some fortifications, and the villages would be those permanent settlements that would be around the cities. And so Cain, he proceeded to be building a city. And so you have the beginnings of human government. You have the beginnings of of commerce. You have the beginnings of industry, if you will. So you have a number of things that are going to be a result of Cain proceeding to be building a city. And so I believe the city that he built does include fortifications. Cain is not, and this ties back to his fear, I believe, of people seeking revenge for what he has done to his brother. So rather than trusting God and believing God's assurance, he's going to take care of it in his own strength. So he's going to build a city, a fortification. And so here we see some of these things taking place. Now in verse 18, he says, and then to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad begat Mahujael, and Mahujael begat Methuselah, and Methuselah begat Lamech. Now, we have to figure that out. So Lamech, just so you know, I think Lamech would be then Cain's great, 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 we probably need three greats, grandson. Okay? Because we're gonna connect something here to Lamech. And so Lamech we're gonna take up Lamech here. And so Cain was Lamech's great, great, great grandfather. And Lamech in verse 19 proceeded to take unto him two wives. And so I'll just point this out because, you know, when you get independence from God, you get further and further declines from God's design. And so here we see Lamech proceeded to take two wives. And let's just turn back to Genesis 2:24. We get a glimpse of what God's design is. And therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wives. No. And shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And so now we get to Lamech here, and he proceeds to take unto him two wives. I could speculate a number of reasons why he would want to do that. I could speculate a number of reasons why he shouldn't do that. But one of the things is, if you want to protect yourself, numbers make a difference. And so by having two wives, you could have, you know, more offspring, if you will. And so let's continue on and we'll see how this might fit in. And the name of one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. So now as we move to Genesis 4:20, we're going to have the beginning of commerce here. And so we see Ada gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have cattle, the King James reads. And so such as dwell or settle in tents, and such as have cattle. Now, the word that they translated cattle here, it just has the idea of purchasable domestic animals. It's not limited to just cows, in other words. And so I see your New King James, a better translation, just translates it livestock. And that's a good translation because it includes cows, horses, sheep, goats, camels, you know, whatever. And so why would you dwell in tents? if you were going to have purchasable domestic animals, well, because you need to go where the grass is greener. If you're going to, at this time, if you're going to have animals, you're going to have to be moving. And so these were such as were dwelling in tents. They were mobile so that they could go to where the grass is greener. And so here you have the beginning of commerce. You have the beginning of raising livestock to supply the needs of others, and to be able to trade and buy and sell and so forth. And so again, we're putting some of this together just from what we have in scripture, and we have the foundation of the world system traced back to the shedding of the blood of Abel. And so now in verse 21, we're going to see the beginning of amusements or entertainment. So as civilization is developing, we see these things that are being developed. And it's important to keep in mind, these things in and of themselves aren't bad. But when you know that it's Satan's world system, and we know that Cain was instrumental in developing it, these things weren't developed to give God glory. These things weren't developed to praise God. They were developed as an alternative to that. So let me just, as I'm thinking about this, let's just turn back to 1 John and read 3:12. So in 1 John chapter 3, and it's an important chapter, but I could back up and read verse 11 as well. It says, "For this is a message that you heard not from the beginning, but a beginning, that we should agape one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one." And so who was? And it's an imperfect verb, which has the idea of continuous or incomplete action and past time. And so he continuously or repeatedly was out from the malignant evil one. And so Cain had many opportunities to demonstrate what was inside. And he continuously or repeatedly demonstrated that he was out from the malignant evil one as the source. And he slew his brother. And why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were, another imperfect, were repeatedly malignant evil, and his brother's righteous. And he goes on, he says, "Marvel not, brethren, since the world hates you." And so here he's talking to he's talking to Christians and the privilege that we have to live out positional righteousness, to fulfill the new commandment, to agape love one another. And this is kind of ties into what Dale is touching on in the morning with godliness, God's life being lived out through human flesh. We don't have prophets or apostles today. But we can reveal something about God through our life. God's quality of life can be seen through the activity of a spiritual believer. And the world and the unsaved that make up the world system aren't going to respond favorably to that. And so that's something we should keep in mind, because as we move forward, we're going to see is God doesn't intend us to change the world system for the better. See, God's ultimately going to destroy it. As a matter of fact, Satan's first world system, God destroyed it with the flood. Satan had to rebuild it after Noah began his line, and his family began to have children. Then Satan was able to rebuild the world system again. And so we're not to change it. We live in it. We're not out from it as the source. We're not trying to reform it, I guess is would be a better word. We're not trying to reform the world system. We're to live in it, and we're to live out godliness. Eventually we'll take a look and we'll see, the Lord is ultimately going to destroy this world system. It's not going to be reformed. We're not going to be taking parts of Satan's diabolical system, moving forward into the millennial kingdom. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 4 and pick up in verse 21. Here we have the beginning of amusements and entertainment. Now keep in mind, these things aren't with a view towards praising the Lord or glorifying the Lord. This was with a view of providing entertainment for really self-indulgence. And so here we see, and his brother named Jubal, he was the father of such as handle the harp and organ. And the word handle, it's a cal participle, but it has the idea of wielding or laying hold of, grasping. And so in this context, it's the idea of grasping these musical instruments to use them skillfully, with skill. And so he was the father of all such as just are grasping the harp. The harp here, it was a stringed instrument. Some translations would translate it the lyre, but it was a stringed instrument. And the organ, which was just a reed pipe, or could be translated flute. And so we have these musical instruments, and we have those that were laying hold of these to play them skillfully. And so you have the beginnings of amusement and entertainment being cultivated into society, civilization, if you will. Now in the next verse, a very interesting verse, because you have the beginnings of education, secular education. And so in verse 22, and Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every craftsman. King James reads artificer, just craftsman in bronze and iron. And so I want to just pause here just for a minute. The word instructor, it has the idea of one who shapes or sharpens, a molding one, a forging one, and so a shaping one. And so here you have the idea of instruction, but it's the secular education. It's one who's shaping and molding others through education. And that's exactly what secular education seeks to do, to mold, to forge one, to shape one. And usually it's the one who's forging or molding who's has a certain mold or shape in mind when they begin the process. And so Zillah, she bare Tubal-Cain, who was just a molding one of every craftsman. Now I'm going to comment on this because I noticed the New American Standard moved away and changed the pointing in the Hebrew, their understanding, and they translated of all implements. The Hebrew pointing that we're looking at, that the King James and the New King James follows a cal participle. And so just ones that were are engraving or metals craftsmen or just craftsmen. And so this instructor of every craftsman is the New King James in bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Nama. And so anyway, you see the beginning of secular education as society, civilization is advancing in these early stages. It's interesting when you think about, and I use the word advancement, because sometimes you can see advancement in other areas, but it doesn't mean that there's advancement in all areas. And that's certainly true when you consider mankind. And so as you have advancement in the arts, in education, you know, this is how we do things. Many times it's accompanied by spiritual neglect, moral decline, especially when these things are for and promote self-indulgence. So you can have advancements in some areas at the same time where you have decline in others. And the world system tends to mask in a lot of ways the decline of mankind as a result of the fall. But here, as we continue on, we're going to come back to Lamech, the great, great, great grandson of Cain. And so here we're going to see the beginning of senseless warfare and the attitude of one-upping and revenge. And so now I'll just comment on this is because I think even in the Hebrew, when you have somebody speaking of themselves in the third person, when you hear that, you're probably going to get a sense of arrogance. And so I kind of read that in here with Lamech. And Lamech said unto his wives, plural. Remember, that's not God's design for man and woman. But here we see a Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice, you wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. And so he uses a hifil here. Because to hearken unto my speech. And so this hifil imperative, he wants them to hear and respond to his voice. He wants them to hearken unto what he's about to say. And so he says here, I have slain a man. And just literally, I have killed a man to my wounding, the King James reads. Just literally, I killed a man for wounding me. And a young man, and the word young man here is a Hebrew word that has the idea of a young male youth. Some translations even translate it boy or child. And so a young youth, a young male youth, he killed to my hurt, just for striking me. This word has the idea for a stripe. Just literally for a stripe. And so here we see Lamech, and he's killed two individuals. He's killed a man for wounding him, and he's killed a young boy for striking him. Now, Lamech seems to be claiming that he was provoked. He was provoked, and he gave better than he got, is basically what he's saying. He gave better than he got. And so in his human logic, his actions were justified. And he's going to use that to make his own decree. Now, I'm going to just, because here he says, well, why does he want his wives to be caused to give heed to his speech here? As you're going to see in the next verse, is he wants revenge to be carried out. If he's killed, he wants revenge to be carried out. And so he wants his wives to teach this attitude to his children if he can't. And so this one upping in revenge, by the way, this is an attitude that keeps, for instance, I'll try to think of a couple of illustrations. This is the attitude that keeps gang wars going for decades. Because one group is always trying to up the other group, and it's a never ending. It's just never ends. Have you heard, or have you ever heard reference the 1,000-year war? The 1,000-year war. Well, the 1,000-year war is a reference to the ongoing struggle between Islam fundamentalists and Christianity. And one of the things that's interesting is many strict fundamental myths from Islam, they don't look at things the way the West do. They don't consider we refer to the Iraq War, and we refer to that like as a separate incident. Well, to some fundamentalists, they just look at it as this is an ongoing thing that's been going on for 1,000 years. This is just one episode in 1,000 years. And there's stories of people being spies for generations to carry out an assassination and so forth. And but this is this kind of attitude of never forgetting and carrying out revenge, and revenge not just an eye for an eye, but one upping. And so Lamech here, he's going to declare his own decree. And so you see him in verse 24. He comes back and he says, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold. Now remember when God had given Cain assurance. Here Lamech says, if Cain, and we could just translate this in the Hebrew. It's a preposition you translate for or because. In a conditional sentence, you could translate it since. And so Lamech says, since Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, then Lamech, it's always interesting when he speaks in the third voice here, then Lamech 70 and sevenfold, just 77-fold. And so there's a number of things here that I just will comment on. It seems to be what Lamech is saying in his human logic is Cain, a murderer, guilty of killing his innocent brother. If he would be avenged 7 times for somebody killing him, me, Lamech, is what he's saying, who was provoked and killed in response, I should be avenged 77 times if I'm killed. And so here we see a couple of things. His logic, his human logic, dismisses God as sovereign. There's also a world system attitude here that Lamech is basically saying, we don't need God. I don't need God's assurance. I don't need God's protection. We can avenge ourselves. And so if everybody knows Lamech, anybody who tries to kill me or kills me is going to be avenged 77 times. That's going to be the deterrence. He's taking things in his own hand, and that works as long as he's the only one with that attitude. What about the ones that he killed? What about the young boy and that he killed his family, or the man that he killed in his family? They have the same decree, the same attitude. We've got a never-ending conflict of one-upping. And so here you see the beginning of senseless warfare. Satan is able to use this to his advantage. And one of the things that we can see as we go down through here and we consider Cain's line, is you can say that Cain's line specialized in independence from God. And we can see that Cain and his line were instrumental in advancing Satan's first world system. This first world system was destroyed at the flood. And so Satan, he's had to reconstruct it as more unsaved people ultimately were born on the earth. Satan was able to manipulate and recreate it. And now we as Christians, we live in it. We live in it. We're not out from it as the source. We're not to love it, nor the things in it. We're not to be concerned with trying to perform it. We live out our Christian life as we live in it. And we leave the rest up to God. He'll use it to his glory. He'll use it to draw some that he's chosen to him. And ultimately, he'll be given the glory. And so as they just come back in here, we can put some things together, like I said, from Genesis 4, that we normally probably wouldn't come in here and make some of these assessments, but from the New Testament, and the Revelation there, we can see that the foundation of the world system is traced back to the shedding of the blood of Abel. And with Cain and his line, we see that those individuals were instrumental in Satan advancing his world system. And we see all of the beginning things that make up the world system. You see commerce and industry and secular education. You also see some false teaching there from Lamech. I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. Senseless warfare, entertainments or amusements. And, you know, many of these things aren't wrong or evil in of themselves. But it is interesting when you see that a lot of these things were developed to encourage independence from God, to encourage man to be self-sufficient. And that's where we can get into trouble with the world system, when we can allow something in the world system. You know, it could be part of the system. You think of politics, or, you know, human government, or amusements. You know, these things can, the potential is for any of these things can come in, and a Christian can get in trouble when something is allowed to be put in a place that only God should occupy. And Satan's world system allows for all of these things to be put in a place instead of God. And so that's where the problem lies with the world system. So I'm going to go ahead and end here today. I'm not sure which direction I'm going to go yet. I might come back and we'll look at the future of the world system at another time. I know for a couple of reasons. And so I'm not sure where I'm going to pick up next week. I've got a couple different possibilities. And so I'll leave you in suspense with that. Let's go ahead and close. Father, thank you for the day. We do thank you for your word. We're grateful that even though we're in the world system, we're not out from it as the source. And we know as we're spirit-filled that we should not direct our agape love at the world system or the things in it, but we should love one another as Christ loved. And so we thank you for that truth and for that privilege. In Christ's name, amen.